Look at the introduction, if you would, in your outline. Verses 24 and 25 bring us to the end of our study. Bring us to the end of our study in the Epistle of Jude. And it is my hope and prayer that these lessons have been profitable to you and have strengthened you in your faith. And I hope that that's what these lessons have done. We don't want to just teach to teach, although there's a lot of great teaching, Brother Epperle, you can teach out of the Bible. But we want, when we study and do Bible studies, we want them to strengthen your faith, to help you along life's road. Amen. We have taken our title for our last study from the last word in this blessed epistle of comfort and warning. It is the word Amen. And may I just say that, again, we've stated it over and over, but praise God, Jude starts out with comfort and it ends with comfort, but all those verses in between are verses of warning to those that are mere professors of the faith and not possessors of the Spirit. Amen? And so there's a lot in there, okay? A lot in the book of Jude. What in these verses would cause Jude and us to say Amen, or so be it, Amen? Number one, we see in verse 24, the preservation. The preservation. Look at verse 24. It says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling." 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Would you go there, hold your place in Jude there, and just go over a few pages to the little epistle of 1 Peter. Just a few pages back, and you'll see these are wonderful verses. Wonderful verses. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." By the way, let me just pause from the outline here. I'm so glad. When I got saved, it was all God. It was all God. I came to God as a hopeless sinner, 23 years old, never heard the gospel in my life before, and had hair halfway down my back and sat there in the pew and just knew I was lost and knew I couldn't do anything to attain salvation. But you know what I have found out in the days since February 26, 1995? There's not only nothing I could do to obtain my salvation, there's nothing I could do to keep my salvation. Thank God, we don't have to persevere, ladies and gentlemen. We're preserved in Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, 1 Peter on your outline, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5, and our text teach that we are preserved by God. We're preserved by God. What a word of comfort this is, particularly in light of what Jude teaches concerning the eternal destruction of apostates. I tell you, I read that, Mr. Kidd, I read that and I say, thank God, I can never be an apostate because I'm preserved in Jesus Christ. Thank God for that. Amen. Next line there. A Christian cannot be an apostate. Christian cannot be an apostate. We are preserved by God. And again, just a little definition here from Brother Sexton's book. An apostate is not someone who is saved and then loses his salvation, because that is an impossibility. The Lord saves us and keeps us saved. Thank God for the Amen. When you think of the preservation of God, like Jude, it ought to cause you to say, Amen. Amen. I'm preserved in Christ. God is not only able to keep you saved, but also can or is able to keep you from falling, our text says. The Greek word used here is apteistos. That's how it's pronounced, apteistos. And is only translated this one time in your King James Bible. And Jude is a very interesting epistle when you look at the Greek text. And listen, I'm not a Greek scholar and don't really want to be. Amen. I've got it in English preserved right here for us. Sometimes the Greek can shed a little light on. But many, many times in Jude, you'll notice in our studies, it's the one time in the Bible that it's translated, and it happens to be in Jude. Amen. Very, very interesting when you look at this little book. But it means to not stumbling, standing firm, exempt from falling. Now, here's an interesting side note here. The apostate hears the word, sets aside revealed truth, and therefore stumbles. Christ becomes a stone of stumbling to him. Okay? However, this is not an endorsement when we think about this idea of not stumbling, never falling. This is not an endorsement of sinless perfection, as some people teach, particularly charismatics. We'll teach the doctrine of sinless perfection. I've met people before, and they'll say, I've not sinned in so many years. And I said, you just did. You're a liar. Amen. This idea of sinless, you want the best argument against sinless perfection? Read Romans chapter 7. Paul says, hey, you know what? The things I know I should do, I don't do them. And the things I know I shouldn't do, I do them. And he talks about how there's always going to be a war. As long as we've got this old robe of flesh, ladies and gentlemen, there's going to be a war going on. And occasionally we will fall. But looking at your outline here, it's not an endorsement of the doctrine of sinless perfection, but rather lets the Christian know that while he may temporarily stumble on this earthly pilgrimage, God will eternally keep him from falling. Again, we're kept. We're kept by the power of God. He's able to keep us. And if you would there, cross-reference, write down Psalm 37:24 and then go there with me. Psalm chapter 37:24, a blessed, blessed verse, a blessed chapter out of the Word of God. Psalm 37 is a tremendous chapter in the Word of God. I'll tell you what, I like this. I don't know about you, occasionally I stumble. Occasionally, I don't do something I know I should do. Is it just me? Okay, I heard a couple muffled old knees out there, so it must not just be me. Psalm chapter 37, 24 is a blessed verse for you and me. Go look at verse 23 if you would. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Isn't that a wonderful verse? Amen. The apostate, they will stumble eternally. You and I may fall in our pilgrimage, but the Lord upholds us with his hand. Again, he is able to keep us, to preserve us. Amen. Number one, the preservation. Number two, the presentation. Go back to Jude. Verse 24, and we see a presentation, not only preservation, but a presentation. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We've been in this prophetic series, and it's been a blessing to me to get in the Word of God and study and look at these things. And I think so many times, Pastor John, when folks graduate from Bible college, they think their theology days are over. They're just beginning, amen? You're supposed to keep learning. By the way, to me, theology is not boring. It's the study of God, amen? And what God has revealed to us. But looking at your outline again, what a thought it is to consider at any moment Christ, the blessed hope, could come and rescue us from our earthly pilgrimage and present us spotless in heaven. Could be. I had that song on my heart all day Saturday. Pastor John knows we were going into prison, and I was just whistling and humming and singing. Maybe today my Lord will come. Maybe today. Boy, it could be today. Amen. It could be today. And he'd present us spotless in heaven on your outline like Enoch of old. 1 minute we may be walking with God, and the next may be walking with Him in glory. Amen. That must have been for Enoch. The Bible says he walked with God and he was not, for God took him. I heard an old preacher say years ago that Enoch and God were walking, and Enoch looked up at God and God said, "You know what, Enoch, we're closer to my house than we are to yours. Why don't we just go to my house?" Amen. Oh, could be. And God will present us faultless. This faultless presentation is only possible through the sacrificial death, substitutionary atonement, and shed blood of Jesus Christ. And by the way, aren't those the three things that the apostates mock most? Oh, that bloody tree, that gory story. You think that there's this blood that's going to cleanse you from sin? That's what the Bible says. Not what I think, it's what the Bible says. Amen? And although how they make fun. For the only righteousness that a Christian has comes from Jesus Christ. And I want you to write down two references here, and we'll look them both up on your cross references. 2 Corinthians 5:21, 2 Corinthians 5:21, and 1 Peter 1:19. Let's go to Corinthians first. 2 Corinthians 5:21 and 1 Peter 1:19. 2 Corinthians. My Bible is right after 1 Corinthians. But yours may be different. I don't know. Amen. Oh boy. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Another blessed verse. Just a blessed verse. "For he hath made him to be sin for us." That's the Father hath made the Son to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Listen, there's nothing righteous about me except Jesus Christ. Amen. And He is righteous enough for the whole world. Amen. And so, for us to be presented spotless, it's because of Christ. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 1 again. 1 Peter chapter 1. Another tremendous verses. If you would look at verse 18, and then verse 19 is our text, but verse 18 says of 1 Peter chapter 1, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." He will present us, on your outline, He will present us in the presence of His glory. And I'll tell you what, ladies and gentlemen, I cannot imagine what that's going to be like. When I think of the glory of God, I think of that verse in 1 Corinthians 2:9 where it says, "Eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love Him." That we can't even imagine. In the Old Testament, Moses could not look on His glory. Remember, Moses requested God. He said, "Let me see Your glory." And the Bible says that God put him in the cleft of the rock and God walked past him backwards. And he saw the back of God. And he just said, "That's all you could take. That's all you could possibly stand of my glory." We could say it this way. It's like looking into the sun. You can't do it for very long. Amen. It'll hurt you after a while. Looking at your outline. One day though, we shall behold His glory with exceeding joy. The song we're working on in our choir is called "We Shall Behold Him." We shall behold Him. We have some of the lyrics right here. "The angel will sound the shout of His coming, and the sleeping shall rise from their slumbering place, and those those remaining shall be changed in a moment, and we shall behold him then face to face. And we shall behold him, face to face in all of his glory. We shall behold him, face to face, our Savior and Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, I say amen to the preservation. I say amen to the presentation. And I say amen to number three, the proclamation. The proclamation. Proclaiming here at the end of Jude. Number one, under the proclamation, who? Who is this one of the proclamation? Well, it says in verse 25, to the only wise God, our Savior. God, as Pastor John preached about last week, God is the only one who is worthy of our praise. Oh, we're thankful for each other and we love each other. And by the way, it is okay to thank somebody for a job they do. And we're not supposed to work for the pat on the back, but I'll tell you this, every once in a while, the pat on the back helps the work, doesn't it? Amen. Brother Epperly, you're a supervisor, you know. A little sugar instead of vinegar helps out. Amen. And praise the Lord for that. But God is the only one who's truly worthy of our praise. He is the only one who has all wisdom. He is the only one who has all wisdom. That's God. All wisdom. It's all bound up in Him. This can only be Jesus Christ, for He is God in the flesh and is our Savior. Who is this that they're proclaiming to the only wise God, our Savior? By the way, I'm glad that our Savior is God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we believe at Loomis Park Baptist Church in the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fact that was God that came down in human flesh. And John 1:1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And if you jump down to verse 14, it tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. He's not only our God, He's our Savior. Like Thomas said, when he had that great confession before Jesus, and Jesus said, hey, put your fingers in the nail prints and put your hand in my side. And he said, my Lord and my God. Jesus is God. Amen. The proclamation. Who? Back page. Not only who, but what is being proclaimed? What? Well, God is the only one who is worthy of four things here in our text. We see glory. Glory. Glory, the manifested excellence of God. And again, you could take literally a whole message on each one of these four things and still not barely scratch the surface. But what is the proclamation to which we say amen? That God is worthy of glory. Not only glory, but majesty. God is worthy of majesty. That is the presence of the God of the universe, or the ruler, or the King of the universe. His majesty. Amen. And He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Say amen. He certainly is. Not only glory and majesty, but dominion. Dominion. That is the strong rule of God. The fact that God will rule. God will reign. And not only dominion, but power. The omnipotence of God. The fact that God is all-powerful. And I just have a little note here. These brief definitions are grossly insufficient. Read Revelation 4:1 through 5:11. And that is when Jesus Christ is magnified by the heavenly host. Amen. After the rapture, He's in read chapter 4 and 5 of Revelation. They're just tremendous. Not only the amen to the who, not only the amen to the what, amen to the when. What does our text tell us? Both now and ever, or forever there. Now and forever. And a great quote here from an author that's been a great, if I could say, friend to me during these lessons and my studies, is John Phillips. It says, when He rules over God's vast empires in space, when time shall be no more, We shall forever shout his praise. We do it now. We shall do it forever. Amen, says Jude. What more can he say? The wretched apostates have had their say. They have had their day. Now it is God's turn. And we say a thankful amen to that. And I say that too. Amen. 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 Father, we're so thankful.